I tell you what, after reading some of the information that Barbara Aho has written and studied, she has spent 10 years in research of putting the puzzles together. She started out first as delving into this ecumenicalism that we see in the churches today. I got an email from someone that said, "Kelly, you're just shooting arrows across the bow of other Christians. We're wasting our time here." And I emailed back. I said, "These aren't other Christians. This is a dangerous philosophy that is not Christian. The people that believe this will not spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are worshiping a false god." So I believe that with all my heart, and I love the people in this bad philosophy as much as I do the ones in Catholicism, those who are in false doctrines and are not saved. My love for them is that I'm willing to sacrifice them liking me and the popularity of this show or my popularity anywhere to tell the truth. A truth over relationship is what it's always been for me, and that's because I'm a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that's my job, and that's what he's called me to do. He's called Barbara Aho. After salvation, the Lord put her in researching and the scriptures, learning the scriptures, and then researching the different problems of what was going on with the apostasy and the ecumenical movement, and where the whole journey has taken her to. Her webpage, watchunderprayer.org, watchunderprayer.org, is unbelievable amounts of information on there. And basically, all of her articles are long, 27, 40 pages long, research, documented research. And she follows this whole thing, and she exposes the secret societies and the Freemasons and the Dominionists and the different occults that are out there, but also puts them all together in the puzzle to where they all fit in prophecy and how they all come together. And the scripture that I have that I'm going to read today, she's just going to teach for the rest of the day and tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we will have her finish teaching, and we'll take calls. We will have her back on in a week or two and go over just the John Birch Society. We'll do just the John Birch Society for one time, what's behind that. She's got an expose on that, which will blow your socks off. Fabulous. I've given it to some of the Birchers here locally who were very mad at me for exposing that the John Birch Society was a controlled group, like all the other Christian right groups out there, and be it for a purpose to lead everybody astray. And the people behind the founding of the John Birch Society is kind of shocking. So it's good for people to research that. So we'll have her back on for that. The scripture I just thought I'd read, there's so much that we could put for this and the out that's going, but I just cited King Solomon because King Solomon, the Lord warned him if he would follow the Lord and do everything, he would be blessed. But if he also went against the Lord and didn't follow the Lord at all, then he would, cut out from under him. He would only give him one kingdom, and he cut out 10 kingdoms and gave it to Jeroboam because he didn't stand before the Lord. Chapter 11, it's funny how it's chapter 11 of the First Kings, 11 being the number of this same group of people that have borne out of Solomon's religion. And King Solomon, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughters of Pharaoh." He was married to a Pharaoh's daughter. "Women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, Zittimites, and the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God." Solomon clave unto these in love. Not only did he go into these different countries, he used them, and they came and helped build the temple. Hiram, king of Tyre, king of Biph. And verse 3, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, and the abominations of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh," you know, what you call an obelisk, probably, "the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise he did for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifices unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And there was judgment and punishment for what he did. And some of that is still going on today. And we titled this the Merovingian dynasty, the Merovingian conspiracy, and how it all comes all the way from King Solomon. And so, Barbara Aho, the Lord has put a wonderful research ability. You're a great watchman, as you've spent tireless and unbelievable amount of work on your webpage, and we're just blessed to have you on Retaking America.
Well, thank you, Kelly. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, I mentioned it recently that reading your information has definitely put my world in a tailspin. But at the same time, it's also connecting the pieces of all my big question marks I've had out all the time. Why is this happening? Why is that person ratcheting up with this person? Why is that group lining with this group when they're supposed to be this way? And your information has just done a fabulous job to put some of the pieces together for me. And I'm just going to open the whole show right now for you to start your presentation and your teaching, and we'll pray that the Lord will bless it and give people ears to hear and eyes to see and a discerning spirit to understand and to check these things out for themselves and not to believe you and I. Go ahead.
Thank you. I hope they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Dominionist agenda is simply a plan to rule the world. As you said, Kelly, Dominionism has many fronts, but few people have been able to discern the origins of this conspiracy. But we do know that they're using the Christian church to accomplish their ends. And this is what happened to me in the beginning of my research. I was researching the ecumenical movement and from that on to Dominionism. And I came up with a wealth of information and traced it all to these various fronts. But I couldn't connect them all together until probably the last year or two, when it all started coming together for me. And the reason, I think we all go through this same process, the reason it's so difficult is because there is so much disinformation out there to confuse us about how Bible prophecy will be fulfilled and who the players will be. And this disinformation is very deliberate. It's circulated by the secret societies in a well-orchestrated propaganda campaign. It's very sophisticated and slick. These are very intelligent people. And what they have done, we believe, is to counterfeit every Bible prophecy. And they've shown a staggering capacity over the years to create blinds and diversions to obscure the true nature of the Antichrist conspiracy. The result will be that multitudes will fall for the counterfeits and the decoys they've set up. Instead of recognizing them as such. And this is the deception that Jesus said would be so great that it would deceive even the very elect, if possible. However, as we went on with our research, and I don't do this alone. I work with a group of women, probably more intelligent than I am, but I just end up writing it all up. And we came to the conclusion that based on these New Age books that we were studying, trying to figure out the pieces of the big jigsaw, that if the average Christian could read the material that was in these books, it is possible to understand the end time puzzle. And I'll just mention a few of these New Age books. I don't recommend that you go out and buy them. But all of our information is documented. You can check the documentation if you want to be sure. Just a few of these books are The Da Vinci Code, Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Bloodline of the Holy Grail, Second Messiah, The Temple and the Lodge. These are all books that New Agers read avidly. They wait for the next one to come out because these books give them their information. They know that the Antichrist is coming. To them, he's the Christ. But to us, he's the Antichrist. But they're eagerly awaiting this personage to appear on the world stage. And so we figured out if we read these books, we could figure it out too. So I just want to talk a little bit about the Da Vinci Code, because it's the most recent of these New Age books. It's hit the mass market like none of the others have. It's extremely popular, bestseller. The author is Dan Brown, and since he authored it in 2003, the Da Vinci Code has sold over 17 million copies, I think, around the world. It's been translated into 44 languages. The Da Vinci Code was Britain's Book of the Year in, this year, 2005. It's being made into a movie next year, directed by Ron Howard. There have been a number of TV documentaries on the Da Vinci Code, and even more, almost every week, on the Merovingian bloodline. President Bush said that he understands the Da Vinci Code better than his own Social Security plan, which should tell us something about President Bush. In fact, Bush is a Merovingian himself. We believe that the Da Vinci Code is important for three reasons. The first reason being that the heresy that it contains, we think, will be the occasion of the great falling away that's described in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The second reason is that this book subtly reveals the identity of the Antichrist. And thirdly, this book reveals the true nature of the Dominionist conspiracy. In a little bit about the plot of the Da Vinci Code, it's a fast-moving thriller. In this novel, the Grand Master of a very powerful secret society in Paris, the Priory of Zion, is murdered in the Louvre. He just happens to be the curator of the Louvre also. But while he was dying, this man, Jacques Saniere, left clues for his granddaughter, whose name is Sophie Nogo, and a Harvard professor, whose expertise he had solicited before his death. Well, solving the clues leads Sophie and the professor to the discovery that Sophie is descended from a sacred royal bloodline called the Merovingian dynasty. Now, the book makes much of the Merovingian claim that their bloodline are descendants of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, which, of course, is patently false. Basically, the book is challenging the biblical doctrine of Jesus Christ as the uniquely divine Son of God. According to the Da Vinci Code and all of these other New Age books I mentioned, Jesus married and had children just like everyone else. And they also are telling their readers that the church has lied to Christians all these years about Jesus Christ. Now, older Christians who are established in the faith would not fall for this type of garbage, but I have found that younger Christians and the younger generation are more open to it, and they are the ones who are being targeted. I had a young woman write to me maybe a year and a half ago. She was in her 20s. She had been raised in a Christian home, attended Christian schools. She read the Da Vinci Code, and she began to doubt the divinity of Jesus Christ. And she was in a panic. She said, what I had held to be true for so many years, now I'm questioning, and can you help me? And I was absolutely stunned that someone who had grown up the way she had would actually be considering these fables, which I had been looking into for years and found almost laughable, but she was taking them seriously. Now, how do the Merovingians support this kind of fable? They certainly don't get their information from the Bible, and especially the King James Version. So they have to go elsewhere, and what they're doing is using Gnostic Gospels to support their heresy, that Jesus was married and had children. And in fact, there are Gnostic Gospels. These are called pseudepigraphica. They're pseudo-gospels. They're attributed to the Jesus' apostles, but they were written like a couple centuries after the apostolic age. And they're forgeries. They were manufactured in Alexandria, and they actually do describe this romance between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. You wonder how anybody would believe this stuff. They're so poorly written. But this is what the Da Vinci Code... Now, the Da Vinci Code doesn't give any documentation. It's purely a novel. But you can bet that the next wave of this will be, we believe, this presentation of the Gnostic Gospels. So the Da Vinci Code is all about discrediting the Christian view of Jesus Christ. It's about subverting and ultimately overthrowing traditional Christianity and replacing it with the Gnostic version of Christianity, which is fundamentally pagan. I've had Christians say to me, oh, this too shall pass, that this is just another pop fad, and don't worry about it. But I don't think so. I think this is here to stay until the Lord returns. Gnosticism in the first century, the Gnostics tried to replace the worship of Jesus Christ with goddess worship, and that's exactly what these Merovingians are doing today. Now, New Age, not just the Da Vinci Code, are preparing mankind for a world leader who will be a messianic figure. They present this benevolent dictator. He will right the wrongs of the world and bring peace on earth. But we know better. We know that the Antichrist will come in on a platform of peace, but then he will devour the world, as it says in Daniel. During the tribulation period, the Antichrist will attempt to eliminate not only Christians and Christianity, but also Western civilization. His agenda will be to restore the pagan pre-flood world of that the New Agers call Atlantis, but which we know of as the pagan world that God had to judge because the imaginations of the heart were so evil he could find no good in that generation except for Noah and his family. We believe, we're sure that New Agers know the identity of this individual, the Antichrist, from reading their New Age books. Unfortunately, Christians are kept in the dark by so much disinformation that they are virtually on the wrong track. You know, Paul said that Satan's emissaries present themselves, or actually transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. And what we have on the Christian scene is disinformation agents everywhere. I'm continually in amazement at the scope of this and the number of disinformation agents. They are literally everywhere, on every media, every venue, in the churches, in the parachurch orgs, everywhere, on the internet. Just amazing. But we can't be content to be on the wrong track, because the tribulation saints, many of whom will be Jews, will need to recognize the Antichrist and not be deceived by the counterfeits and the decoys and the disinformation campaign that is well underway already. Remember that Jesus said that this deception would be so sophisticated, replete with signs and wonders, that it would deceive even the very elect, if possible. Now, the Da Vinci Code and Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Bloodline of the Holy Grail, all of these New Age books are about a dynasty of semi-divine kings who have, they believe, they claim, the divine right to rule the world. Now, the Merovingian dynasty actually did rule Europe from the 5th to the 8th centuries. That is until Charlemagne became the Holy Roman Emperor in 800 AD. But then Charlemagne himself married a Mary Vincin. So although they claim that their dynasty came to an end at that time, we have to wonder, and there have been statements made that all of the thrones of Europe are ruled by this Merovingian dynasty through the Middle Ages and at the present time. But they're this is a very well-kept secret. I suspect that when somebody got into a position of power who wasn't a Merovingian, that they were quickly eliminated. Anyway, the founder of the Merovingians, people wonder where that name Merovingian came from. It seems so strange. They claim that their founder was Merovi, and he was the king of the Franks, or France, although it was a larger empire in his day than it is now in France, from 447 to 458 AD. Now, the strange thing about Merovi is he had dual patrimony. He had two fathers, they say. Now, Clodion was his human father, but the Merovingians also say that Merovi was sired by a mysterious sea beast. Now, the term Merovingian, mer is the French word for sea, and Meru, M-E-R-U, is another name for the pre-flood Atlantis that they want to return to. So this Merovi starts to sound like the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. As a matter of fact, that's awfully close to the reality. Now, the Merovingians are, by their own account, a Jewish nobility having divine blood. But their definition of divinity is very different from the biblical definition. And we're going to see as I go on where they really come from. Now, the Da Vinci Code and Holy Blood, Holy Grail, Bloodline of the Holy Grail, all claim that there are living descendants of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene today. And they claim that the highest-ranking living descendant of this bloodline will be the world ruler, i.e., the Antichrist. So to legitimize the Antichrist as world dictator, they're not only using Jesus Christ as part of his credentials, the lineage of Jesus Christ, but by virtue of that fact, they will claim that he is therefore a descendant of David and Solomon. And of course, this will be the false Messiah that the Jews will receive instead of Jesus Christ. Of course, I'm not talking about the remnant of Jews who are saved at the very end when Jesus reveals himself to them. But there is a synagogue of Satan within Jewry that is opposed to everybody, including their own brother Jews, who don't buy into this evil plot of theirs, and I'm going to go into this more tomorrow and on Thursday. But they will have to justify the genealogy of this false Christ, because obviously if they want him to replace Jesus, they're going to have to come up with a genealogy like Jesus had. And so what they do is they follow Jesus' descent through Solomon, who is in Joseph's lineage. Now, of course, this is an attack on the divinity of Jesus, because Joseph was not the true father of Jesus. Jesus actually descended from another son of David and Bathsheba, Nathan, and this was Mary's genealogy, which is the legitimate genealogy for Jesus. There is much evidence that the Merovingians, who by their own account are Jewish nobility, that these people believe that Solomon will be reincarnated as the Messiah. Now, a large number of Jews believe in incarnation. And Judeo-Freemasonry actually teaches that Solomon was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Solomon was really the Jews' ideal of the Messiah. There was peace and prosperity during his reign. The esoteric societies love Solomon, and many of their rites are based on Solomon because he was an apostate, as Kelly described as she read the scriptures about him. He was pagan. He went into idolatry. He brought this idolatry into Israel. He thoroughly led the Jews astray. But in this dominionist agenda that I'm leading up to, these New Age books, which are dominionist in the extreme, they are out to rule the world, and they're going to set up their man to do it. And they zero in on a secret society called the Priori Dei Zion. Remember in the plot of the Da Vinci Code that Jacques Saunier, the curator of the Louvre, was also the Grand Master of the Priory of Zion. Of course, he's a fictional character. But the Priori Dei Zion really does exist. It's the central command of all secret societies. It's the high cabal of Kabbalist Jews, not your ordinary Jewish person who knows nothing about this high cabal, but Holy Blood, Holy Grail states that the Priori Dei Zion is comprised of 121 high dignitaries led by none other than the House of Rothschild. A little bit about the Priori Dei Zion. It's located in Paris. It actually originated in Egypt, and there it was called the Society of Ormus. Another name for it was the Illuminati. The Society of Ormus relocated to Italy, Calabria, Italy, in about the 5th century. And from there, they relocated to France just before the Crusades took place. The ostensible purpose of this priory was to preserve the Frankish Merovingian dynasty and the secret of Jesus' bloodline. However, in actuality, their agenda was to spread this heresy and to plot the overthrow of Christianity. And that's what they've been about all these years, really during the church age. They worship Mary Magdalene as the Holy Grail. She's venerated as the womb that bore Jesus' children. The Priori Dei Zion are a Luciferian order. They're a fertility cult. They worship Diana and Isis. They are responsible for building all the cathedrals in Europe that are dedicated to the Black Virgin, Isis. And now they're trying to promote this Mary Magdalene heresy as if she is the goddess, the Black Virgin, as if she was married to Jesus. This is just an affront to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Christian church, and to Mary Magdalene as well. I'm sure she would thoroughly disapprove of this. Their agenda is to transition the church from the worship of Jesus Christ to goddess worship. And of course, the goddess is a bisexual goddess. He's really Lucifer disguised as something good, which is his usual disguise. One interesting fact, the Priori Dei Zion, among its grand masters, lists Leonardo da Vinci, who is the namesake of Dan Brown's book that has really taken the world by storm. In 1510 to 1519, he was the grand master of the Priori Dei Zion. Now, since Christian researchers have exposed the Priori Dei Zion in connection with the Antichrist, there's been a considerable effort at damage control. I've found this even in Christian books that are trying to refute the Da Vinci Code. They claim that the Priori de Sion is just a small club of friends. It fizzled, you know, a few years after it was started, and it has no connection whatsoever with the medieval Priori de Sion that created the Knights Templar and the Crusades. They try to present it as some crazy invention that Dan Brown and Pierre Plantard came up with to make a name for themselves. However, this is far from the truth. The reason for all of this damage control is that the conspirators want New Agers to have this information, but not Christians. And the reason for that is, if you're a Christian, you've read Bible prophecy, and you would understand that this organization, this secret society, and their false Christ would be fulfilling Bible prophecies concerning the Antichrist. At all costs, they want to prevent this from getting out. They want to present this Christ as a good person who's going to bring peace to the world. But the fact is that Christians are falling for this lie. And certainly Jews are going to fall for it. It is paramount that Christians and the tribulation saints understand this conspiracy. And so I'd like to read some information from various sources which are supporting evidence for the singular importance of the Priori de Sion. It's also called the Priori of Zion. These sources reveal that the Priori de Sion is the Illuminati. It's connected to Judeo-Freemasonry, B'nai B'rith, and the House of Rothschild. And it's the high cabal of international Jewry that was responsible for the Protocols of Zion, a strategy for world domination. But first, I want to talk just a little bit about what Priori de Sion means. Doesn't seem to make much sense to the average person. In Deuteronomy 4:48, the Word of God states Mount Zion, Mount Zion, that's with an S, S-I-O-N, which is in Hermon. Now, Mount Hermon in the north of Israel is where the fallen angels mated with human wisdom, with women. And this was the generation that God had to destroy in the flood. When the Israelites were brought into the promised land, the Canaanites were up in this Mount Hermon area, and they had erected altars to the god Baal. And when the Jews were in the land, the tribe of Dan was not happy with its inheritance along the coast. And so this tribe, which many believe, including us, will be the tribe of the Antichrist, this tribe relocated to the north of Israel in the Canaanite territory of Mount Hermon. And so that's why they make much of Mount Zion. That's where they intend to relocate the temple of God from Jerusalem to Mount Zion in Hermon. It's a sacred site for them. Now, William Cooper made this statement about the Priori de Sion. Priori de Sion was a religious order founded upon Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And we all know that the Mount Zion in Jerusalem was spelled with a Z, Mount Zion. So William Cooper here is misleading. And he also stated the order set for itself the goal of preserving and recording the bloodline of Jesus and the house of David. And we'll find out a little later on that William Cooper actually believed that Jesus had children, that he didn't die on the cross, that he believed the whole Merovingian lie. In fact, we have evidence that William Cooper is related to the Antichrist. A priori, okay, the Priori de Sion. A priori is a monastery. In this case, it's a religious front for the learned elders of Zion, the authors of the protocols. This was revealed by none other than Adam Weishaupt, whose Illuminati was funded by the House of Rothschild. And here's what Adam Weishaupt had to say. As in the spiritual orders of the Roman Church, religion was, alas, only a pretense. You see, they used these religious orders as fronts. They looked so spiritual, so holy, these monasteries. But most of them, we believe, were fronts for the occult. And Weishaupt continued, so must our order, referring to the Illuminati, in a nobler way, try to conceal itself behind a learned society, or something of the kind. Now, the membership of the Priori de Sion was revealed in Holy Blood, Holy Grail. This book states the French press in 1981 had stated that the 121 high dignitaries of the Priori de Sion were all eminence Greeks of high finance and international political or philosophical organizations. This is no obscure monastery. This is not even a monastery. These individuals, these men, were powerful men. They were in high finance. They were heads in state and international politics and philosophical organizations. These are the movers and shakers of the world and have been for centuries. Also, Holy Blood, Holy Grail has this to say about the Priori de Sion. The text of the protocols, meaning the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, ends with a single statement signed by the representatives of Zion, S-I-O-N, of the 33rd degree. So we see the Priori de Sion was linked with the protocols, this infamous document that laid out a plan for world domination and was actually what got what triggered the Holocaust, because it was said that all of the Jews were behind this when really it was only a small cabal. Other prominent figures secretly affiliated with the Priori de Sion were identified by Victor Marsden in his introduction to the protocols. There, Marsden wrote, in 1931, Jean Isolette, a prominent member of the Jewish Alliance Israelite Universelle, wrote in his Paris, the Capital of the Religions, this is what he wrote, the meaning of the history of the last century is that today 300 Jewish financiers, all masters of lodges, rule the world. So we're beginning to see that all of this interconnects with Freemasonry. And we'll see more of that as I go on. In the top 13 Illuminati bloodlines by Fritz Springmeier, it was stated that the House of Rothschild actually controls the Priori de Sion. Springmeier wrote, and I quote, the Priori de Sion, the elders of Zion, also relates to the Rothschilds, who are reported to serve on a Jewish council of elders of Zion, S-I-O-N. For instance, he continued, George Armstrong wrote in the Rothschild Money Trust, that is the present objective of Jeroboam Rothschild and his secret elders of Zion. Springmeier also wrote that B'nai B'rith is the front for the Priori of Zion and the House of Rothschild. He said, according to the three Jewish authors of Dope, Inc., the B'nai B'rith was a spinoff of the Order of Zion and was organized as a covert intelligence front for the House of Rothschild. It is highly probable that the B'nai B'rith was used as a Rothschild intelligence cover. And here are three Jewish authors of Dope, Inc., one of these being Anton Chaikin, who is exposing the Rothschilds as controlling B'nai B'rith and this Order of Zion. Now, let's talk a little bit about the name Rothschild. We believe that this name is actually an eponym for Ruth's child, referring to Ruth in the lineage of David and Solomon. And we all know that in the Old Testament, Ruth was the Moabite widow who married Boaz, and she bore a son, Obed, who became the grandfather of David. So when Rothschild's name is actually a claim to being Ruth's child, to this lineage. And of course, occultists everywhere know this, New Agers know this. Somehow the Christians have been misled. Well, a lot of other people have been misled too. But we have the prophecy, we have the scriptures. God has given us everything that we need to figure out this plot, to protect ourselves and our families from it, and Father, and to expose it. In Merovingian lore and in Freemasonry, the sons of the widow, meaning the sons, the descendants of Ruth, are this Merovingian bloodline. And we know the widow's son in Freemasonry is a reference to the Merovingian usurper of the Davidic lineage, in other words, the Antichrist. Now, the 121 elders of the Priory of Zion appear to be the overlords of B'nai B'rith, which means the sons of the covenant. And the reason I say this is, one reason I say it, is because of a statement by Léon de Pocins in The Secret Powers Behind the Revolution. He said, he wrote, according to well-informed sources, there is in the B'nai B'rith a superposition of secret societies ending in a single governing power. And he gave us this hierarchy. Above the B'nai B'rith are the B'nai Moshe, and then the B'nai Zion, and finally the hidden center of supreme command. Of course, in his time, nobody was talking about that hidden center of supreme command. But now the New Agers, the Merovingians, are coming out of the closet, and we know that he must have been referring to the Priory de Sion. Now, this all has a lot to do with Freemasonry because of the references to the widow's son, the fact that the Knights Templar, which the Priory de Sion created, evolved into the orders of Freemasonry. And it's interesting that in 1874, Albert Pike signed a secret treaty with the B'nai B'rith, which brought American and English Masonry under the directorate of B'nai B'rith. So you're, here you have Gentile Freemasonry being sold out to this high cabal in France, the Priory de Sion and all of its connections, B'nai B'rith, without their even knowing it. Albert Pike never revealed this to Gentile Freemasons, and it looks like they're ignorant of it to this very day. But Freemasonry, of course, is based on the Kabbalah, and the, all of these rites of the Temple of Solomon, which are pagan rites. So they have other ways of figuring it out. Now, as I just said, the Priory de Sion in the Middle Ages formed the Knights Templars to conduct the Crusades. The Knights Templars were originally called the Order of Poor Knights of Christ and the Temple of Solomon. In other words, the Templars. And the, these poor knights, of course, weren't poor, but they went under the cover of being a monastic order. But to accomplish their purpose, they had to be warrior knights. So they had to go to the Holy Land and throw out the Turks and occupy the Holy Land. And to do this, the Priory de Sion put their own man into the papacy. Pope Urban II was actually a Merovingian pope, and he authorized the formation of the Knights Templar at the request of these wealthy Jewish Merovingian families in Europe. They called themselves the Rex Deus families. And these wealthy families funded the Crusades from 1099 to 1300. They called themselves Rex Deus because that means kings of God. And this wealthy nobility, Jewish nobility, claimed to be the kings of God, that they were divine, and that they had a right to the Holy Land. Albert Pike says that their real intention, they gave out a lot of spurious reasons why they wanted to go back to the Holy Land, and supposedly they were protecting the highways and the byways for the pilgrims going there. But Albert Pike revealed their real purpose in the Holy Land. It was to rebuild the Temple of Solomon. And, of course, this was in preparation for the man that even then they intend to put on the throne of a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Well, the Knights Templars served their purpose, but in 1307 they were exterminated. It seems to us that the thrones of Europe and the papacy, which wasn't always occupied by a Merovingian, got wind of what the Knights Templars and the Priory de Sion were up to. And in 1307, the King of France, in collusion with the Pope, plotted to overthrow the Knights Templar. There was a mass extermination on October 13th in that year. From there, the order, what was left of the order, went underground. And they fled to Scotland. And in Scotland, they were still underground because it appears that what they were trying to do was discovered. In the Great Britain, they evolved into the Rosicrucians and the Orders of Freemasonry. And they sent out from Great Britain a network of secret societies that now covers the globe. And during all of this time, the Priory de Sion remained intact in France. Now, I'd like to, I don't know how much time I have left, but I'd just like to, I can continue this tomorrow.
We've got about 3 minutes, Barbara.
Okay, thanks.
And I want to make sure people know your webpage, make sure I get it out. It's right this time. It's www.watch-unto-prayer.com. .org, and you can be emailed from that site, but also be Barbara Aho, A-H-O, or Aho, how do you say it?
Aho.
Aho, that's what I figured. B-A-H-O at watch-unto-prayer.org, where you can be emailed. We will be selling these 3 days, plus next week and the week after we do some more days. We'll continue to get this information out to you in a CD form also. So we've got about 2.5 minutes. We need about a minute for the closing, Barbara. So okay. What do you just want to just wrap it up today?
Okay. I'll just leave you with this quote from the Da Vinci Code.
Okay.
Because we all want to know who this individual is going to be, who's going to sit on this rebuilt temple.
I think the Lord has given us lots of information because he wants us to know, too.
That's right. And here's what the New Age book, The Da Vinci Code, says. Only two direct lines of Merovingians remain. Their family names are Plantard and St. Clair. Both families live in hiding, probably protected by the Priory of Sion. Now, we know that the Antichrist will not be revealed until his time. This is what Paul said. So, of course, he's in hiding, and it's all a big secret now. But New Agers know, and we believe Christians should know, too. And tomorrow I plan to go into that.
Okay. All right. And then we will it'd be interesting. I have one question is how all the, when we get there, how the Opus Dei fits in and the Latin Mass onlys. And we've heard a lot how a lot of our leaders in America, our presidents, have all been in line with Charlemagne, which I guess would make them all in line to the Merovingian dynasty.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, folks, we are out of time today, and I just appreciate Barbara's time, your research, and your group of women that do this research. It's a reading club, huh? And you've learned so much, and study, and a watchman group. To expose the wickedness that's going on about that. So, folks, we appreciate, Barbara, appreciate you being with us. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I hate to even end it today.